You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Two donkeys were walking in Jerusalem when one donkey said to the other, "Just yesterday I was carrying Jesus and the people were singing and shouting and throwing down their clothes for me to walk on. And today they don't even recognize me." And the other donkey replied, "That's how it is, my friend. Without Jesus, you are nothing." And I like that. Father, as we celebrate this morning the resurrection, we celebrate victory over Satan. Victory over Satan for us. It wasn't for God's sake, because you always had victory over Satan, but it was for us. You came and carried all of our sins that we might be forgiven of all of them. Today we celebrate, and we not only celebrate the greatness of the resurrection that took place 2,000 years ago, but we celebrate that Jesus lives in us today, that we serve a risen Savior, a living Savior. And so, Father, as we have gathered this morning, we would pray that You would descend upon our nation with great conviction and great awakening today. We pray for revival in our land. We pray for there to be restoration in our land, for healing in our families. We pray for prodigals to come home. We pray, Father, for those who have run away, those who have wandered away, those who are lost today, that they would come back to the Father's house. Pray today that today would be a day of victory. Today would be a day of rejoicing. Today would be a day, Father, when there would be great signs and miracles and wonders in Your house. For Father, we have not come to simply look at a historical Jesus, but we have come to celebrate a God who lives. And You live in us. And we are alive. And we are confident of the resurrection, because we have experienced life in the midst of our death and light in the midst of our darkness. So we welcome You this morning to be with us, Father, to the north, to the south, to the east and to the west. We call forth those that are called to be heirs of salvation. And Father, I pray that every heart that is bound by demonic strongholds and by Satan's lies, that You would loose them from Satan, from sin, and from self. And that those who do not yet know You, or who are not fully surrendered to You, that they would be bound to the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And that today would be a day of salvation, a new beginning. For Father, we know that there is no other life that has value such as You give, except in Jesus Christ. And we welcome You now into this service to continue to speak into our lives as we look into Your word. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. I came across a note that I wrote several years ago in one of my devotionals this morning. And I thought, you know, this is still so true. I wanted to share it with you. I guess it's a bit of my testimony. I wrote, I could have no interest, no conscious mind to desire to follow God unless God Himself had so willed by the Holy Spirit to move me. I am forever grateful for the call given. Come follow me. I am forever grateful for the convincing desire that God gave to me to follow after He called. Father, You have chosen me in Christ just as much as You chose Peter, James, and John. I could never have had the strength to follow You. It is all Your strength. Thank You, Father, for Your love has conquered all of my fears, all of my tears, all of my weaknesses, and all of my sins. To God be the glory. When we say that, to God be the glory, that is absolutely where all the glory goes. If you have a heart for the Lord today, it is because God has given you that heart. You did not choose to follow God. And I believe that's one of the strongest, absolute, convincing proofs that you are His when you can acknowledge, I'm not a Christian simply because I'm from a Christian nation. I'm a Christian because Christ, who lives the Son of God, constrained my heart to come and follow. And somehow I was so moved by God at some point in my life where I surrendered my nets and I left my boats and I left the rest of my stuff and decided I will follow Jesus. It is a choice. God will not force Himself upon anyone. And I know as parents we pray, we desire, and we have every right to over our house, because I do believe that it is a right thing for us to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I do say that over my house. But ultimately it comes down to the choice of each one of our children and each one of us. We must make that decision. And just as someone said, being in a garage does not make you a car. Being in America does not make you a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this may not be a passage that you would think we would start at on resurrection morning, but it's where we're starting this morning. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins. How many of you know that this morning? Christ died for our sins. Just as the Scriptures said, He was buried, He was raised from the dead on the third day, as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter. Interesting, Peter's put in there first, right? Remember, Peter's the one that cursed and swore and ran. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of His followers at one time. Why does this matter? It is convincing proof that those who had followed Jesus saw that He rose from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then everything the disciples and all of his followers had believed, all was a lie. 500 followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. And as this was being written, and it's being written that most of whom were still alive, the point was you can ask them. Amen. There are many witnesses. And the Holy Spirit is calling attention to that. The book is being written and many eyewitnesses that were there can contest to the proof. Though some have died by now, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And last of all, I saw him. Now this is the book of Corinthians. It's not Matthew, Mark, or John. It's the book of Corinthians written by Paul. Paul says, last of all, I saw him. Now I want you to think about that for just a moment. We have no personal record of Paul at any time during the ministry of Christ being visibly seen or personally involved in any of those gatherings. But yet Paul says, last of all, I saw him too. Now the context makes it clear that Paul did not see him along with the others because it says, last of all, I saw him too long after the others. As though I had been born at the wrong time. But he said, I saw him. I saw him. Then Paul will go on and say, for I am the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church of God. But he was an apostle. He said, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. But understand this. Our own sins and transgressions and unworthiness does not hinder God from making us worthy. So a major part of the resurrection story is that you may not have been there 2,000 years ago to have seen him, but you too, like Paul, can see him. And though you may be unworthy, you too, like Paul, can recognize he has still made me worthy regardless of my unworthiness. Paul would call himself the chief of sinners. So don't be so impressed with your filthy journey. Don't think that what you've done is so good or so bad that you either rank high or low on the scale. Because Paul says, I was a persecutor of the church. And because of that, he calls himself chief of sinners. But then he says, whatever I am now, whatever I am now, what are you now? What are you now? You know what you were. Are you still who you were when you were in the darkest night and you were in the lowest low and you were in the most destructive season of your life? Is that where you are now? If you are there, there's hope for you too. Because where you were, if you are resurrected with Christ, the old man has been put to death and you're alive in God. If that's who you are, then you are at a whole new place today. If you are not yet there, it's not too late. Because this resurrection, Christ, he lives to bring life to those who are still lost and in chains and in darkness. But whatever I am now, Paul knew what he deserved, but he recognized what I am now is not what I deserved. Whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me. Huh. That came out of my notes from 2017. My devotions that morning, as I sat alone with the Father, and I realized, Father, there is nothing that I can glory in other than that You so loved that You gave Your Son and then You pursued me. It's all because of God's special favor. And not without results. In other words, when God poured out His favor, It wasn't wasted. Paul's saying, what God gave me has not been squandered. He said, whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out a special favor on me, and not without results, for I have worked harder than all the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace. What is Paul saying? He is saying, I was the most wretched. I was unworthy. I did not deserve to be an apostle. But yet, God took the unworthy and the most unrighteous, chief of sinners, and poured out His favor on me. And God didn't waste any of His favor, because then, once I allowed God to come into my life, I received what He had. Then God began to do a work through me, which has caused me to be a new creation. That's exactly what He's saying. He's not saying, well, God poured out some favor, so I decided I would rehab myself. He's not saying, so I became better and I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I encouraged myself. You know, I motivated myself. No, He's giving God all the glory. This resurrection, we must give God all the glory. Paul says, whatever I am, it's by His grace. Whatever I've done, it's because He did it through me. Pretty awesome. Whatever I am now. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach. The important thing is that you believe. Look at verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead. This was the message of the church. Christ rose from the dead. The cults do not have that testimony. They cannot put up any evidence. But as Christians, death could not hold our founder. That's a great thing, because that means death cannot hold me, cannot hold you. It means death is not the end. Death is actually just a graduation to a forever beginning. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? I was in a store owned by a Jewish man, and we talked on many occasions. And one day, as we were talking, and we would talk about faith and different things, and on this day he said, I wish I could believe that there is life after death and that we can choose to be with God. I wish that I could believe that. I said, you can. You can. He said, oh, no, no. He said, I know how you Christians die. He said, I've known how Christians die with a hope. There's no fear. Oh, there may be pain and there may be questions, but there's not fear. I'm listening to this Jewish man talk to me and say, I wish I could have the hope that you Christians have. I said, but you can have that same hope because the Messiah gave his life for you too. He said, I wish I could believe. I wish I could believe. We talked further and I understood something that Gil really was used by the Lord to really impact me with is he was talking to someone one day and the Holy Spirit was not touching their hearts. They were not able to receive. Gil is sharing, but they were not open to receive. And I realized this day that only the hearts that God touches are able to receive. I mean, unless the Holy Spirit is calling, who would come? Oh, I understand emotionally. Maybe some have walked an aisle, and maybe they made a decision with their head. Maybe they wanted fire insurance. But for those who are moved by their heart to say, I am lost, and I need a Savior, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That takes the Holy Spirit to do that. I pray for that Jewish man that his heart will be open. The Holy Spirit gives us in verse 13, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ was not raised, then all of our preaching is useless. And your trust in God is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that cannot be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. Paul saying, he brings this comparative in and this truth in that unless Christ is raised, then no one else is raised either. He's the first fruits. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. You are still under condemnation for your sins in that case. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ have perished. And if we have hope in Christ only for this life, we are most miserable people in the world. In other words, you've lived with a lie, unless it's true. But look at verse 20. And this is the topic of this resurrection message and of every day. The fact is. The fact is. Not the premise. Not the suggestion. Not some people's opinion. These are individuals that died for their faith. They died with their testimony. They did not shirk away from this reality. The fact is, say that with me. The fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead. This is a fact. The fact is Christ has been raised from the dead. Years ago there was a gathering, a debate in our city, in the school, between creationism and Darwinism. And in this debate, there was discussion, and a very strong opponent to creationism was there, very well-known educator. Someone confronted him after the debate that evening and said, I heard what you spoke tonight, but you're an intelligent man, and you know there are major holes in your belief system. You know that even what you said, you cannot believe because science does not uphold all of your theory. How are you going to deal with that truth? The man said, I cannot admit that you are right. And I cannot admit that there is a God who created. If I admitted that, then I would be responsible for so much more. Because if there is a God who created all things, and I believe that, then I must search to understand what that God has said and what He requires of me. He said, I cannot believe that there is a God. Whether he believes or not does not change the facts. The facts still stand. Many will say that, well, I choose not to believe. Well, that's, you can choose not to believe. But don't blame God or blame the church or blame me when you stand before God and God says, what did you do with my son? That scientist that day was actually admitting there is a God. And that he simply did not want to deal with the requirements of a relationship. The fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first of a great harvest of those who will be raised to life. I want to take you to the cross for a few moments. Actually, I want to take you to the crosses for a few moments. We had a gentleman in our church, his name was Jack. Jack's with the Lord today. Jack was kind of rough on the outside. Jack had rode with bikers, and now my son's going to get a motorcycle, so I got to be careful what I say. Because people like Jody do as well. And I have one too now. So Patrick does as well. But Jack was one of those guys that on the outside looked real rough. But God had touched Jack's heart. Some people only knew the old Jack. I remember the service that we had for him. Some of you may have been there. Our auditorium was packed with people. Some only knew the old Jack. They only knew the way Jack had been. They only knew the way he used to talk and walk. They didn't know the new Jack. In fact, there were some, I believe, that may have been convinced that the old Jack could not have become a new Jack.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.